Ooh, that video wears me out. Isn't that powerful? Well, listen, my wife, Gail, is as kind and generous as they come, and she deserves a medal, too, you know, for putting up with me and all that she does for me. But last Monday night, middle of the night, she's sound asleep. I'm trying to sleep, but I've got one of those sinus headaches. You know, I'm stopped up, and it hurts under my eyes and all across my forehead, and I'm, you know, sniffing and snorting and carrying on, and I kind of wake her up, I guess, because of the noise I'm making. And so she said, "Are you all right?" And I said, "Oh, I got this sinus headache." So my wife, sweet as she is, she rolls over and she starts to rub my forehead, and then she rubs under my eyes, you know, and oh man, I feel so good and I feel so loved. And all of a sudden, with the palm of her hand, she slams it into my nose and she's pushing like this, and it's like, "Honey, that just doesn't really feel very good." And so I reach up and I move her hand down and wake her up. She falls asleep while she's massaging my face and punches me right in the nose. So she woke up and we both were just laying in bed rolling. It was so funny. But listen, here's the deal. Sometimes you're going through life and you feel like you're doing pretty well. You know, I mean, you're being nice to people and you're massaging all the right faces, you know, and you're kind and you're loving and you're being generous with your time and with your money. But if you aren't careful, if we aren't careful, we can fall asleep at the wheel. You know, we can drift off into distraction, or maybe there's something that makes us anxious, or maybe we just kind of get self-focused and we turn selfish. And what began as a pleasant massage becomes a punch in the nose. Not on purpose, but through busyness or through carelessness, apathy can creep in and we just forget to be kind. Years ago, Keith Green sang a song about the world sleeping in the dark while the church is asleep in the light. You know, God tells us things like love your neighbors. He says serve the poor. He says forgive your enemies. And then he goes on to say if we're generous with what we have, then not only will our needs be met, but we can help meet the needs of other people and God will be honored in the process. And so we've been talking for the last 3 weeks about generosity. And I've admitted to you, I'm a little bit uncomfortable talking about this because there's such a stereotype that all preachers are always asking for money and all they want is a handout and just want you to give, give, give. But the Apostle Paul promises us in our text for today that whoever sows generously will also reap generously. In other words, the more seeds you plant, the more harvest you receive. The truth is, if you're generous with other people will likely be generous to you. Jesus said, "Give and it will be given to you." If you're quick to share with a neighbor who's in need, well, you know what? He's probably going to turn around and share with you if you have a need. If you're generous with your employees, then, man, when you need them to step up for a special occasion, maybe they'll give you some extra effort. You give $20 to a soldier and $2 million comes in, you know, for charity, what we saw in the video. Man, powerful. And then beyond what other people do to us to respond to generosity, God promises to bless those who are generous. You want to be blessed by God, then bless other people, and He promises to take care of you. It's not that we give so that we can receive. It's not a selfish kind of giving. Okay, I'll give here, so come on, God, make me rich. It's not like that at all, right? Our generosity is motivated by love, not by selfishness. But the reward for unselfish generosity is the blessing of God. Now, this is our final sermon on generosity, and all God's people said amen. You're probably tired of this, but listen. Today we're going to see what God promises to do for those who are generous. And we're going to see in a profound way what generosity in action can look like. And so, as kind of a review, Paul says some things here at the beginning of this text, and we'll do that, then we'll get to God's promises. But he says, look, there's some prerequisites to receiving the blessing of God. Look at verse 6 of chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 9, 6. He says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously." He says, look, if you want to receive a generous blessing from God, then give generously. And it's kind of a no-brainer. The more seed a farmer sows, the more harvest he receives. The more money that you put in the bank or the more money you invest, the more return on that investment you acquire. The more taxes you pay, the more government you get. Okay, it doesn't always work out, but you get the idea. The Apostle Paul says, look, this works with God too. Right? The more we invest in His work, the more blessing we receive from Him. So it raises a question, how do we know if we're being, well, generous? Look, it's not about how much you give, right? Somebody with millions of dollars could give $100,000 somewhere and not even know it's gone. Somebody else could give $50 and deal with it all week long. You know, I mean, it's not about the amount. It's about what it is to you. And generosity is not just putting money in the offering plate. All right, I think the Bible's clear about that, the importance of that. But generosity might be buying groceries for a friend who's kind of going through a tough time. It might mean buying Christmas gifts for somebody, you know, who's not going to get anything otherwise. Maybe it means that you loan your car to a neighbor whose car is in the shop. Or maybe you send a financial gift to a missionary or to a Bible college. It might be going to see somebody in the hospital. It might be making a meal for somebody who is grieving, going through a tough time. It might be donating blankets to a homeless shelter. There's any number of ways that we can be generous, but it's about having an open heart. It's about doing more than is expected. It's giving our best, not just the leftovers. It's open hands, open hearts. You know, if you thought it was cold here this past week, aren't you glad you weren't in Chicago? Temperatures on Wednesday in Chicago reached 20 degrees below zero. That's 26 degrees colder than it was here. And I don't even want to think about the wind that was coming off of Lake Michigan. I mean, can you imagine having to get up in a warm house, you know, and roll out of bed and then go out and deal with all of that to go to school or to go to work? Can you imagine being homeless in Chicago this past week? Last Wednesday in Chicago, about 70 homeless people were living in tents, and they were trying literally not to freeze to death. And so some generous person had donated some propane heaters, which was warming but dangerous. One of the propane heaters blew up. It didn't hurt anybody miraculously, but 70 people had to be relocated immediately in those kind of temperatures. And so what happened is that the Salvation Army got called, and they're trying to mobilize and figure something out. Before they could even get anything rolling, some anonymous donor paid for hotel rooms for all 70 of those homeless people. Man, what a beautiful expression of generosity. And so we give generously, but another prerequisite is that we give willingly. Look what he says in verse 7 here in this text. Paul says, look, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. Not reluctantly, not under compulsion. I heard a sermon years ago by Chuck Swindoll, and he talked about going to one of these banquets that's raising money for some project. And the way they had it set up, there was a candle at every table. And during the pledge time, they turned the lights out. And they said, when everybody at the table's made a pledge, you blow your candle out. And it was made pretty clear, we're not leaving till the room's dark. You know, this is not a room full of willing givers. This is, I want to go home, I got to pledge something kind of a situation. Not very willing. Now see, the truth is, other people can be blessed by gifts that are grudgingly given. Okay, they can. If you give and you're sour about it, well, other people might be blessed by that. Other people can be blessed by offerings even if you feel manipulated and conned into giving. But the only way that we will be blessed by what has been given, the only way we receive the blessing is if we want to give it. Back in verse 5 of this chapter, he says, there are gifts that are grudgingly given. And this is the opposite of that. This is willingly, not grudgingly. I got to thinking, those of you who have two or more children have probably experienced something like this. One of your kids is playing with a toy, and then he gets up and goes in the other room. And while he's gone, the sister or whatever comes in and finds that toy and starts to play with it. So a few minutes later, child one returns to the room, and what happens? You can't play with that. I'm playing with that. Right? And he takes it away. Child two screams, and suddenly you're in the middle of a play date that you really hadn't scheduled. You know, you weren't planning to be there. And so you step in, you take the thing away from child one, give it back to child two, all the while explaining about the benefits of sharing, all the while, you know, explaining about this incredible, inspiring sermon on generosity you just heard and how moving it was. And your child says, well, Mom, or Dad, thank you so much for making that so clear to me. It would mean the world to me to grant my sibling some quality time with some of my prized possessions. Right? I mean, this is exactly the way it unfolds for you, I'm sure. No, that's not how it happens at all. Child one is crying because you made them share. Child two is crying because they're still mad. Now you feel like crying, and everything has been grudgingly given, right? There's no joy in Mudville, right? This is not a happy time. Listen again to 2 Corinthians 9:7. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a cheerful giver. Do you know that the Greek word for cheerful here is hilaros, from which we get our word hilarious? Isn't that funny? When's the last time you ever put hilarious and giving together in the same sentence? God loves those who give hilariously. And to contrast that, did you ever stop to think that the root word for miserable is miser? Stingy people are unhappy people. Stingy people are unhappy people. Joy comes from giving, and so we're to give joyfully, cheerfully, hilariously. And then what happens from that? Well, there's some promises from God that happen to that. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Having all that we need. Maybe not all that you want, but having your needs met. Pick up in verse 10, he says, look, he who supplies, this is my God, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. As we meet the needs of others, God promises to meet our needs as well. I mean, it's really pretty simple. It's why King David could say in Psalm 37:25, I once was young, now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They're always generous, they lend freely, their children will be blessed. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, he said. I've never seen people out begging who are generous people, because God just blesses generosity. All right, listen to this. I read one preacher wrote this. He said, look, don't worry about how God's going to bless your generosity. Maybe he'll increase your income. Maybe he'll lower your expenses. Maybe he'll sustain your household appliances. Maybe he'll protect your health. Maybe he'll keep your car out of the shop. The thing is, God will do it in his time and in his way, but he promises to bless us if we're generous. He'll give us what we need. In fact, verse 11 says it this way. He says, look, you're going to be made rich in every way. Now, we'll talk about rich in a minute, but he says, in every way, you're going to be blessed, physically, financially. God's going to help you spiritually through his Holy Spirit and through his word and through the church. God's going to bless you relationally. Generous people tend to have more friends. Now, not like the kind of friends of the people that come out of the woodwork when you win the lottery, not those kind of friends. But like deep relationships, true friendship. Verse 14 says that when we're generous, other people's hearts go out to us. I read an article by Suzanne Atterbury from Portland, Oregon. She wrote this years ago, and so it was at a time when $50 means more than $50 means today, but she had run short of money, and she was visiting her brother out of town, so he loaned her $50. Well, she got home, and she didn't really have a lot coming in, and so she would mail him $5 at a time, and she just wrote a little letter each time she sent him $5. Well, he called to tell her, look, I don't need the money, but I'm enjoying the letters. You know, keep the letters coming. This is great. So she was determined to pay it back. So 10 letters, $5 in each one. After she mailed the last letter the next week, there was a note in her mailbox from her brother. She opened it up and there was $50 back in there again. It's like, let's just keep this thing going, right? There's just something about generosity. What it does is that it fosters loving relationships. Listen, God made some big promises in his word about taking care of us and meeting our needs and blessing us richly if we're generous people. But do you know why he does all that? You know why? Because he loves us, well, sure. And because he wants us to be able to take care of ourselves and other people, of course. But there's more than just that. Listen again, verse 11. You'll be made rich in every way so that, here we go, here's the purpose, so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. He says through us, because like you're going to raise some money, then you're going to send it with us, we're going to go bless a bunch of people that we're going to take it to. So God's going to bless you so that you can bless other people. That's the purpose of God's blessing. You'll be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. Now look, rich is a relative term. Okay, when we hear that God's going to make us rich, our minds start to race. Oh, it means I'm going to have a great job, or my investments are just going to blow up, or it means that I'm going to get some inheritance from some aunt I never knew I had. Maybe, but probably not. Truth is, listen, this is important. A person is rich if he has more than he needs. That's what it means to be rich. And I'm going to guess that pretty much every one of us here slept inside last night, not outside. And we've all had something to eat. You know, and we got clothes on that are pretty respectable. And I'm just saying, a person is rich who has more than they need. And so God gives us more than we need so we can bless those who have less than they need. I mean, this is the bottom line today, just real plain and simple. God gives us more than we need so we can help those who have less than they need. He gives us more than we need so we can help those who have less than they need. In effect, God restocks the shelves when we run out so that we can continue to care for ourselves and for other people. What I'm saying, if you like 1, 2, and 3, here we go. Number one is that God blesses us so we can continue to be a blessing to others. You'll be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. I got to thinking, you know, if things are going pretty well for you, I mean, financially speaking, I mean, that's awesome. We're happy for you, and that's great. But don't get all smarmy about it thinking you're all that. Maybe God's putting somebody right next to you who has a pretty big need. So maybe if things are going well, you start to look around and say, what does God want me to be up to right now? Because He's got something in mind. But He goes on to say, look, God blesses us so that others will praise God. Look at the beginning of verse 9. Verse 12 of chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians. This service that you perform, he's talking about the offering you're taking up for the people. This service is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you've proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel and of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. In their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace that God has given you. He says, look, because of your gifts, people are going to praise God. Now, I was trying to think how to explain this, that people praise God because of our gifts. It's kind of like when we're generous, we make God look good. Okay? And I'm not saying like He needs us to make Him look good. He can handle that Himself. All I'm saying is that while we're not in charge of God's image management, it's just a reality that when we're generous and we're kind and we're gracious and we're open-handed, that people are grateful to Him and they praise Him because of what we've done. And so we have this opportunity to be generous and then to be able to be blessed. All right, I'm gonna do a couple more things and we'll wrap up, but I want to make sure you see this, so I don't want you to miss this. Bring up this next picture. Because I want to tell you something else that's really cool about what we're doing here at the church. Let me tell you about these kids really quickly. This is Bernard, Ronald, and Sheila. And this year we built into our budget supporting 3 kids in Uganda so they can go to school. Okay, for $15 a month, we got several people in our church who are doing this on their own. You can send a kid to school. He gets a warm meal. He gets a uniform and he goes to a Christian school. My sister-in-law and my niece are over there right now helping put all this together. Many of you are already involved, but as a church, these are our 3 kids, and we're going to be praying for them and thinking about them. And you're giving. Man, when you give here, you know, you're taking care of me and my family, and you're taking care of a lot of stuff that happens around here, and you're paying light bills and all that, but you're also making sure that little kids get to go to school, and you're helping people in Barbados, and you're helping people, you know, in India. And, man, it's just powerful what happens when we're generous. Honduras, that's what I was trying to remember. Paul comes down to the end of this passage and he says in verse 15, look, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. He said, man, you're proud of your giving. That's great. But let me tell you about the best gift that's ever been given. God sent His Son Jesus to save us from our sins. God sent Jesus so that we could experience eternal life with Him. The final purpose of God's blessing is so other people can be saved. We give so people can hear the gospel. You know, our mission statement is that we love God, we love people, and we build a bridge to Jesus. Generosity builds bridges. Generosity builds bridges. People don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. And so we're generous. God gives us more than we need so we can help those who have less than they need. You know, I've been thinking about this for the last several weeks and trying to think about, you know, who's going to get it and how we're going to do it and make sure it all works right. But you know what occurred to me? You're going to absolutely forget my sermon. You're not going to remember what I said today, and that's okay. I mean, I get it. You'll come back next week. I'll have something else to say. But I think you're going to remember giving a $717 tip today because there's something profound about generosity. God uses it to change the world, and we get to be a part of that. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises. Thank you that you say that when we're generous with our money and with our hearts and our lives, that you'll just pour out your blessing on us. Help us to receive that, not so we can get rich and fat, but we receive that so we can just continue to bless and we can continue to look outward and share with others. Thank you, God, for all that you've done for us. But most of all, thank you for your indescribable gift through Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.